In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us kneel. Let us pray for the souls in purgatory. Please respond. Have mercy on them. Jesus, King and our God.
Have mercy on them.
Jesus, King and our Redeemer.
Have mercy on them.
Jesus, King and Judge of the living and of the dead.
Have mercy on them.
Jesus, King most powerful. Jesus, King, hope of those who die in Thee.
Have mercy on them.
Please respond, deliver them, O Lord, from all evil, from Thy severe justice, from horrible darkness, from weeping and wailing, from the dreadful captivity, through the merits and intercession of Thy most holy Mother, through the merits and intercession of all Thy saints. Please respond, intercede for them. Holy Mary, Holy Mother of God, Holy Virgin of Virgins, Queen of Purgatory, Our Lady of Mount Carmel, Our Lady of the Miraculous Medal, Our Lady of Perpetual Help, please respond, pray for them. Saint Michael,
pray for them.
Saint Joseph,
pray for them.
Saint Peter,
pray for them.
Saint Paul,
pray for them.
Saint John the Baptist,
pray for them.
Saint Lazarus,
pray for them.
Saint Mary Magdalene,
pray for them.
Saint Martha,
pray for them.
Saint Veronica,
pray for them.
Saint Thecla,
pray for them.
Saint Innocent the First,
pray for them.
Saint Vincent of Lerins, Saint Mary of Egypt,
pray for them.
Saint Genevieve,
pray for them.
Saint Scholastica,
pray for them.
Saint Dimphna,
pray for them.
Saint Wenceslaus,
pray for them.
Saint Adelaide,
pray for them.
Saint Henry,
pray for them.
Saint Elizabeth of Schönau,
pray for them.
Saint Hedwig,
pray for them.
Saint Ferdinand III,
pray for them.
Saint Giuliana Falconieri,
pray for them.
Saint Rock,
pray for them.
Saint John of God, Saint Pascal Bailon, Saint Jane Frances de Chantal,
pray for them.
Saint John de Brebeuf,
pray for them.
Saint Isaac Jogues,
pray for them.
Saint Dominic Savio,
pray for them.
Eternal rest grant unto them, O Lord, and let perpetual light shine upon them. May they rest in peace. Amen. Today is the last Sunday after Pentecost. Jesus, King of love, speaks to us. Charity is patient. Charity is kind. Charity envieth not, dealeth not perversely, is not puffed up. Charity is not ambitious, seeketh not her own, is not provoked to anger, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth with the truth. Charity beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Jesus, King most loving, speaks to us. Abide in my love. I have loved you to the point of humbling myself in the crib, on the cross, and in the Eucharist. I have loved you without the least merit on your part, nay more, in spite of your having 1,000 times been unworthy of my love. I have loved you as your Redeemer, not only in spite of, but because of your iniquities. I have loved you with a love of preference. Did I not leave my Father and my heaven and my angels for you? I disdained the treasures of the world and was born naked in a stable for you, my erring children. I have loved you more than my own life, for I gave it freely, seeking death that life eternal might be yours. And to give one's life is to give everything. This is the supreme proof of love. You have incurred the chastisement of infinite justice. And then I interposed myself between you, the guilty, and the Father. And I have suffered death for love of you. I have loved you more than my own majesty. Behold me covered with ignominy, rebuked, mocked, trampled upon like a worm. I, a God. I have loved you more than my own glory, which was shrouded with the veil of death on Calvary, and has since been hidden for 20 centuries in the Holy Eucharist. Who would ever guess that in the poor, dusty tabernacle of some village church, there dwells the God whom the very heavens cannot sustain? I have loved you, and I love you with an immense and infinite charity. And you, my little children, do you love me in return? In any case, you were not the first to love, for I have loved you from all eternity. In caritate perpetua, I loved you with an everlasting love. Do I have the first place in your hearts? In your affections, do you place me above creatures, pleasures, and comforts? Behold, I stand at the gate and knock. I stand waiting patiently. I call again and again. And too often the reply is, Lord, wait one moment. I am now too busy about my future, money matters, and my business. Wait a moment. Time passes, bringing with it reverses and successes, flowers and thorns. I return again and call with a voice of supplication. Let me in. I am love and peace. Yes, Lord, but not just yet. See how worried I am about my health, my welfare, my job, my friends, all the things I am doing. I cannot waste a moment. Come back another day. Jesus King calls us to charity. He is King of love. His kingdom is the kingdom of faith, hope, and charity. Jesus loves us, and He calls us to love Him in return. Abide in my love. John chapter 15, verse 9. Jesus' greatest desire is to reign in our hearts. The following is an example of Jesus reigning in one's heart. St. John Eudes expresses it as follows. He's praying, and the words of his prayer help us to understand what it means for Jesus to reign in our hearts. O Jesus, King of my love, increase in me the desire to love Thee. May I aspire to Thee incessantly. May I tend towards Thee perpetually. May I yearn for Thee day and night without ceasing. O sweetest Jesus, give me life only that I may love Thee more and more. The reason why God in His infinite goodness and mercy, the reason why He gives us life, the reason why you and I are here today, is so that we have another opportunity to love Jesus more than we have in the past. all of the saints and the lives of all of the saints call us to charity. They are all exemplary in the virtue of charity. And remember, the souls in purgatory, they depend on our charity. Not just on our prayers, but on our charity. The effectiveness of our prayers, the effectiveness of our sacrifices, the effectiveness of the holy masses and holy communions that we offer for the souls in purgatory, that depends on the charity that is in our souls. Remember the private revelation to St. Gertrude the Great that I mentioned to you last Sunday. Again, these were the words that Jesus spoke to her. The time of expiation, and he's referring to the souls in purgatory, the time of expiation is longer or shorter according to the fervor and affection of the prayers and satisfactory acts of the friends of the deceased, and also according to his own merits. Remember this, take it to heart. Because most likely one of the reasons why, again, God in His infinite goodness and mercy, why He gives us the grace and the ability to come to the assistance of the souls in purgatory. Those we've loved and those we love that are no longer with us here on this earth, we can still help them. An incredible grace. But most likely one of the reasons why God allows this is to help us to grow in charity. Because the holy souls in purgatory, again, they depend on our charity. The efforts that we make to offer reparation for the sins that they committed. And again, it's not just saying words, it's not just even doing, let's say, penances or carrying out indulgences. It's the charity with which we do this. Love of God and love of neighbor. And the holy season of Advent begins next Sunday. Advent also calls us to charity. Advent reminds us that time is passing quickly. Eternity is drawing near. Don't forget today's Holy Gospel from Matthew chapter 24. Jesus coming in the clouds with great power and majesty. A marvelous image of our Savior and Judge, specifically our King and our Judge, but that is also telling us time is passing quickly. Eternity, judgment, and eternity are drawing near. And God is asking for our hearts. We don't know how much time we will have to give Him our hearts. God asks for our hearts. Let us not refuse them to Him. And the season of Advent is telling us He will come again to judge the living and the dead. He's coming to judge, and He's going to judge us based on truth and charity. So we're being called to charity so that we can be well prepared for the judgment. We're called to believe the truth, the one holy Catholic and apostolic faith, and to live in charity according to those truths, the truths of our holy religion, the truths of the one true Catholic religion. When the Apostle St. John was a very old man and not able to walk, the faithful used to carry him to the church that they might hear him preach to them the heavenly lessons he had heard from the lips of his divine master. As he could not preach to them long sermons because he was so feeble, they listened to him with the greatest eagerness that they might hear every word he said. But St. John always said to them the same words, "My little children, love one another." The faithful at length became weary of hearing the same thing so often repeated to them. So they one day said to him, "Master, why do you always preach to us the same words?" St. John answered, "My little children, it is the commandment of the Lord. If it is done, it is enough." We don't have to do incredible things. What we have to do is do our very best every single day. Especially, we have a new opportunity as Advent is about to begin, to do our best to grow in love of God and love of neighbor. Remember, death and judgment also call us to practice charity. As we approach death, really the only thing that's going to matter is the state of our soul. And whether or not we loved God and loved our neighbor. Reflect well on this. When the day comes when God calls me to give an account of my life, the day that I die, what is going to matter? What's going to matter is the charity that you practiced. And again, this is what you're going to be judged upon. God's not going to come with surprises. We know what He's going to judge us on. He's going to judge us on the truth and on charity. Did you believe the truth? Did you adhere to the truth? Did you practice charity? Did you live your life in conformity with those truths? So, how can we make efforts to grow in charity, in the love of God and in the love of neighbor? Remember that to love God means, what does it mean to love God? To love God means to conform ourselves to His holy will. To love God means to seek His will. That's why, again, obedience is so important. That's also why. It's one of the reasons why God in His infinite goodness and mercy, why He places us as little ones, He places us when we're small, in our family with our parents, so that we can learn to be obedient. One cannot emphasize the importance in our life as Catholics of growing in the virtue of obedience from the very, very beginning. It really is sad. And I mean, again, parents think about this, and especially the young ones think about this. It's very sad because one of the reasons why there is such a grave crisis in the church today is because so many, many, many Catholics did not really make efforts to really grow in obedience when they were small, when they were young at home. And that spirit of disobedience continued. Not like it's all of a sudden going to change. So to love God, it means to seek God's will, to seek to please God. I want to please God. And obviously to obey His commandments. There's no such thing as love of God if we're disobeying His commandments, if we're not seeking His will, if we're not seeking to please Him. That's what we have to strive for because we love God, because we want to grow in our love of God. And when we talk about conforming our will to God's holy will, we can basically kind of divide that into two categories. And that's conformity to God's signified will and conformity to God's will of good pleasure. So God's signified will and God's will of good pleasure. Conformity to God's signified will means obeying God's will as expressed through His commandments, the sacraments, the teachings of the church, and through the commands of our lawful superiors. Everybody listen carefully. This has to do with charity. And again, love of God and conforming our wills to God's signified will. God's signified will means we know what it is. It's not a mystery. We don't have to go around walking about, well, I really don't know what God's will is. What we know for certain, I mean, in some instances, we might not necessarily know God's will. Sometimes it's difficult to maybe discern His will. But in general, when we're talking about God's signified will, we know what God's will is. His commandments, the sacraments, the teachings of the church, the commands of our lawful superiors. That applies to Catholic wives. When the Catholic wife is obedient to her husband, that is one of the ways in which we conform our will to God's signified will. Don't forget this. Do your best to put it into practice. This is why it's so important that we live faithful to the sacraments, because God's will is expressed in the sacraments. Faithful to the sacrament of holy matrimony. That we do our best to go with faith and with fervor to Holy Mass, receive Holy Communion, that we go to confession. That we make every effort to truly be contrite for our sins when we go to confession. The sacraments are meant to help us to grow in charity, love of God and love of neighbor. All of us need to make greater efforts when we go to confession to be more truly contrite for our sins. Always remember, the sorrier you are for your sins, the less you're going to commit them in the future. Because you're truly sorry for having offended God. And then conformity to God's will of good pleasure. This means a willing and cheerful acceptance of everything that happens, realizing that it comes from the loving hands of God. This is the wisdom of the saints. Again, we look to all the saints. The saints are exemplary in conforming to God's holy will. First of all, conforming themselves to God's signified will, commandments, sacraments, teachings of the church. And then also conformity to God's will of good pleasure. The saints saw in all the events of their life, the operations of a wise and loving God. They did not always understand why God allowed certain things to happen to them, particularly such trials as sickness, misunderstandings, persecutions, prolonged temptations. But they accepted these trials joyfully, confident that God was using these crosses to perfect them according to His mysterious and loving design. This is a very important way where we, following the example of all the saints, where we have to strive to grow in our love of God. That we let go of our will. I want to have a very nice life. I want to have this. I want this person to do this. I want that person to do that. And to conform our will to God's will by conforming ourselves to God's will of good pleasure. The difficulties and the trials especially that come my way, to accept them. And to accept them again, willingly and cheerfully. May His holy will be done. God knows what He does. God knows what He is about. And then, very important, one last point about how can we grow in love of God, how can we grow in charity. This is central to charity and the love of God. We have to detach from creatures and from self in order to be able to attach ourselves to God. To unite ourselves to God, to love God, to be united to Him, to be close to Him. Listen to the following elements of the life of grace, of the spiritual life. Freedom from sin, the overcoming of temptations, the reception of the sacraments, prayer, mortification, the keeping of the commandments, the observance of the counsels, the evangelical counsels, especially for religious. That's chastity, obedience, and poverty. The practice of virtues, the development of the gifts of the Holy Ghost. All of these, they can be united under the following principle. Detachment from creatures and self, and attachment to God. All of them. The soul must free itself from created things in order to cling solely to God. In order to grow in our love of God, we have to fight against this tendency to always attach ourselves and our affections to creatures, to the things of the world, to ourselves, to our own will, to our own selfishness. It's a very powerful drive that we have. We can basically say again, selfishness, self-seeking. Seeking the comfort or the refuge of created things and the things of the world. And as long as our heart is attached to all of that, how can we attach our heart to God? I'll close with just two brief, very short prayers from two of the great doctors of the church, St. Augustine and St. Alphonsus Liguori. And their words are beautiful words because what they're praying to grow in their love of God. Never forget this. We obviously have to pray and ask God to help us to grow in our love of Him and to help us so that every day of our lives here on this earth that we will love Him more and more. Basically, this is what St. Augustine and St. Alphonsus Liguori are doing. They're expressing their love of God and praying for the grace to love God more. Listen very carefully to their prayer because they're exactly expressing as well detachment from creatures and self, so that they can be attached to God, to love God. St. Augustine prays, quote, Lord Jesus, may I hate myself and love Thee. May I do everything for the sake of Thee. May I humble myself and exalt Thee. May I think of nothing except Thee. May I die to myself and live in Thee. May I receive whatever happens as from Thee. May I banish self and follow Thee. And St. Alphonsus Liguori, my dearest Jesus, fill my heart with Thy love, so that I may forget the world and myself, to think of nothing but loving and pleasing Thee. Thou hast spared nothing for my love, neither will I spare anything for Thy love. In Thee alone will I place all my affections. Yes, my Jesus, I love Thee, my treasure, my life, my love, my all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.